You are listening to Absent Minded, brought to you by HabsEyesOnThePrize.com.
Hello and welcome to the real countdown of the top 25, under 25, 2023. Awesome list. We have some great things to talk about. We have some great guests. I'm here with one of my favorite guests. Actually, it takes about 30 minutes for us to start the podcast. But Ken, also known as Minivan Dad, how are you doing, man?
Good. Thanks, Patrick. Thanks for having me again after last year's rambling on episode.
Well, as you all know, Ken Bromberger is the goalie expert that we count on from time to time. So, you know, goalies are going to be in buckets here, or at least two of them. But we're starting from a recently acquired Swede. Someone I interviewed the other day in Gothenburg, Elias Andersson, makes his entry and his exit from the list, more or less, at number 25. It's a redemption year for him. He struggled, or I shouldn't say he struggled. He has had a roller coaster ride from his seventh overall pick in the draft. A little bit high, maybe. But we have to remember, he was ranked about 13, 15 in that draft year. So it wasn't kind of that reach that many argues that it was. He struggled a little bit in Hartford and in New York, went over to Sweden, came back and got a deal with the Los Angeles Kings. And last year, he performed very, very well with Ontario Reign in regards to the fact that he was moved to the wing, got less defensive responsibilities, ended up higher up on the ice, more of a forechecker, and what we must remember, a goal scorer. Suddenly he got that kind of accolade that we thought we would see from when he left Sweden. Really, really good player, but that's all I'm going to say about him. I'm actually not going to say much more. Because
hey, sometimes it takes these guys time to find their way and change their expectations, and you know that's part of becoming a pro, I think, for a lot of these guys, which it's an underrated discussion that people don't have too much about how these guys evolve.
And we had that interview with Elias 2 weeks ago, so I think you can figure out what we think. We have the article on the site on Monday. This obviously goes out on Wednesday, but let's talk about two guys that has made quite an impression since their draft years. Or one draft here, and since the draft this year. Let's start with Jakub Dobysz, American Czech goalie, and playing in Ohio State, right? Because I don't have the page up.
He's Ohio State, but didn't he spend a little time in? I think they just brought him to Laval, actually, at the end of the year. So, he's you know, he's an interesting guy. I think last year when we talked about him, I thought he was a little bit raw. He's still, he's big, but he's not that big. I thought he was much bigger. He's only about 6'4", but he sort of looks like he's like 6'6". You know, he's one of these rangy guys. In watching him at Ohio State, you know, and I think we should talk about sort of the college development system here. You know, he's got some pretty good technical skills, more than I remember him having. I think his post integration is really pretty nice. He's pretty solid when he's in tight. You know, he does well with sort of, you know, what they call battling, but it doesn't really battle. You know, he's good within tight plays. And he seems to be pretty good with straight on shooters. The one issue that I have with him, which is a huge issue, is his depth in transition. And I think part of that comes from being very, very sort of focused on these shooting opportunities, and which he's good at stopping. But, you know, he spends time 8-10 feet out of the crease. I mean, if you watch him in a transition situation, it would be a 2-on-1 and he'll be 6 feet outside the crease on the primary shooter. You know, it's possible that, you know, at this level, I think he's at the last level where this works, you know, where and when he you know, it just leaves that, it leaves that backside so vulnerable. And in the past, and I think it up until now, he's been able to sort of make these spectacular sliding saves, you know, on those types of situations, you know, or stop the primary shot, you know. And then I think there are also times when he's not in transition where he really just takes a depth, like, you know, 2 feet outside the crease, 2 full skate blades outside the crease. You know, he's a big kid. He doesn't need to be that far out. And, you know, it's, there's a difference between being aggressive and being sort of just a little reckless almost. You know, it's not reckless because he makes the stops now. But, you know, you get to the pros, guys see that you're 8 feet out of the crease. You know, they're just going to, they're going to wrap around. You know, they'll do a wrap around. The primary guy will just hold it if there's no pass. They'll go all the way around, and he's going to have to cover 16 feet to get back to the net, you know, to get to the other side. And or, you know, they'll make 2 passes. And, you know, the first guy will make a, you know, make a pass. He'll go sliding across, and second guy will hold it a second, make another pass, and back away, and it's a wide-open net. And, you know, you can get away with that when you can, when you're faster than the guys you're playing against, and the guys you're playing against don't have sort of necessarily the full team skill. You know, you may have a great player on one wing and then a guy who's decent on the other wing, but isn't going to be a high draft pick or something like that. Or is a guy just playing college hockey, you know, when that's in the pro level and everybody can play. I think he's just vastly overexposed at that level. And then the other thing I think that happens with him is that when he makes these sliding saves, when he makes these recoveries, he doesn't have a lot of body rotation. So he's locked on a primary shooter, and he has very explosive speed and really pretty good technique, except for this one thing where he – so when he makes his push across, it's really straight across the ice. It's not angled back towards the post. It's not angled back towards the potential next shooter. It's a straight across thing. And it, and so, you know, what that does is at the pro level, the pass is going to go faster. It's going to get released faster. The shot's going to get released faster. He's probably not going to get there. But he's also not setting himself up for any kind of recovery from that other play. You know, it's a one-time deal. He's pushing, you know, he's pushing from, you know, 8 feet outside the crease on one, on a, you know, on a wing coming in straight across the middle of the ice, parallel to the goal line. And when you do that, you're just not giving yourself the best opportunity to stop anything that isn't just an immediate one-timer that happens to be in your line. And I just think there's a lot more efficiency that he needs to gain in that regard. You know, there's a couple of highlights if you watch him. You know, there's a, it's a game where I think it's the LIU game where, you know, he has a guy coming in on a sort of a side angle drive, not low angle, but, you know, coming in from the wing and cutting across the front, and the guy goes to his backhand, and Dobis gets beat, you know, 5-hole, but his 5-hole was, yeah, he had just sort of pushed so hard across the ice, his 5-hole was like 6 feet wide, you know, and it was just a little bit out of control. And I think that's part of being so aggressive. You know, if you watch him on his overlaps, on his net, on his post integration, when he's doing an RVH and he's right up against the post, he's terrific. When he's got a drive coming at him and he's doing an overlap, he's a foot outside the crease. And there's just, it's just too much ground to cover. You know, there are people who can do it. It's not necessary. You know, the net is covered. If you have a low angle drive coming at you, you know, I'm not a big fan of overlap anyway, because I see too many guys get caught on the near side post and then not being able to push back across on a wrap. So I'm a little biased against it, but I'm really biased against it if you're going to be that far outside, you know, outside the crease. It just gives you too much. There's too much ground to cover, and he doesn't rotate well enough to really make that move, you know, back the other way. And so, you know, like I said, I think he's a really interesting prospect. I said, we were talking before, you know, about the college thing. You know, he's playing a bunch of games. You know, sometimes they're winning 9-0. You play for a really good NCAA team. You know, you're not getting full you're not getting sort of a full pro experience. You're playing on the weekends. You're playing 40 games that, you know, of which 10 of them are going to be blowouts. You know, it's not hard to play a game you know you're going to win, even if you give up a goal. And it's not hard to play a game you know you're going to win, even if you give up a goal, if giving up a goal isn't going to cost you playing time. So, you know, I think there's, you know, and then they get into the playoffs and they did pretty well. You know, he's a good goalie. You know, he really is. I just think he's, you know, if I were the Habs looking at him, I'd be thinking, okay, I got to clean up this guy's transition work and I got to teach him to rotate his upper body because, you know, he's got the tools. He plays a little bigger than he is. He's fast. He's very fearless in terms of how he sort of challenges shooters, but he's got to be able to understand that the instinct he has doesn't necessarily work at the pro level. You know, it's just too exposed. There's one guy who's been able to do it. Jonathan Quick was able to do it, you know, but he also had, you know, a Stanley Cup defense that cleaned up anything behind him. That doesn't necessarily happen all the time. And it puts a lot of pressure on your team. And it's not necessary. He's big enough to cover the net, you know, with his heels on the crease. He doesn't need to be 8 feet out of the crease, you know, on a shooter.
One thing that is spoken about a little bit here in Sweden is that these big goalies tend to go down very early facing the shooter. A little bit Dishov did it. We got other, obviously Ullmark did it when he was around and stuff.
Yeah.
And you leave that gap over the shoulder. Whereas,
yeah, I don't see him doing that much. And I'm not a huge, like, you know, it's the way you play now. You know, what would you rather? Like, to me, I've always been a believer that I would much rather have a guy have to pick a top corner over my shoulder, you know, on the move with a defender challenging him, than be able to beat me through the body. You know, I don't see him getting beat a lot through the body. You know, most of it is, I think, five hole because his legs are splaying out while he's pushing across too far from too far away. You know, I think if you clean up that, you know, he actually has a nice cant forward. He's got a nice glove hand. You know, he doesn't seem to me, I didn't see him really give up a lot in the way of, you know, sort of getting beat high, you know. But again, I'm okay with that. You know, I'm okay with guys getting beat high. I think what happens as they get older and they get better and the players they play against get better is they start to understand the angles that these guys can make. So, you know, they probably don't get beat high much when they're playing against 15-year-olds and then 16-year-olds and 17. And then as they get older, all of a sudden, you know, guy can, you know, you're not going to see the guy's stick move and suddenly the puck is going to be by you. And, you know, that becomes a question of your body angle. You know, we've talked about this before, you know, where you get a little forward lean and it just cuts off a little more of the net. And he seems to have that. You know, he's not one of these sort of straight up and down blocker guys, which I think is one of the reasons why he's pretty good on these challenges that he makes. You know, every once in a while I see one leak through his body because his legs are, you know, like I said, they're, you know, he's pushing from 18 feet away. He's got to get there and not everything closes up in time, you know. But I would rather have a big guy who can move and recover, you know, cover the net and block, you know, use his body to cover the net, then use his body to cover the glass behind the crossbar. You know, I'd rather have him down than getting beat five hole. So, you know, I think as long as you do it right, you know, and again, you know, at a certain point, you're going to get beat. And like I said, I would rather have somebody have to get beat by the ear hole constantly, you know, than be able to get beat, you know, with just a decent release through the, you know, at his level. And that's the other thing I think we're talking about. You know, at his level, he should be making the best players on the ice make their best play to beat him. And it seems like he's pretty good at that. I just think that the way he makes them do it, you know, is not translatable to a game where, you know, all 20 guys on the roster can light you up.
So I'm going to be tough here because we all know how you feel about a certain Caden Primo, but But what kind of expectations should we have on Dobish this year when he starts to play for Laval behind Dumont?
Well, you know, like I said, I think you know, last year we talked a lot about Caden. I think Caden is what Caden is. You know, Caden is a guy who is pretty good, but he to me, he just doesn't quite have the body control, and he still doesn't to sort of make that jump where he's going to play 30 games a year in the NHL. You know, I think he's a good AHL goalie who can fill in for you sometimes. You know, I just don't see the ceiling on him being that much higher than it is because he just hasn't changed much, you know, from what I've seen. Again, I'm not, you know, watching every game he plays. But, you know, Jakob, I think it depends. You know, I think I would expect some major growing pains. you know, when he hits the pro ranks, I would expect some major growing pains because, you know, especially now in the pro game, there's a lot of transition. There's a lot of cross ice transition. And that's really where I think he's too spectacular. Yeah, that's unsustainable against pros. It just is. And I would love to see them sort of rein him back a little bit. And, you know, hey, look, you want to challenge a shooter one-on-one when you know there's no other option? That's great. But if you get a guy coming down the wing in the NHL, there is always going to be somebody coming down the other wing. And there is always going to be somebody else coming up the middle. Yeah. There's always going to be a trail up the middle. And so you got to be able to, you know, maybe go, instead of going 8 feet out of the crease, go two, go three. You know, you're big enough and fast enough, and his skating skills seem good enough, you know, that you can do that. And then, you know, and then you can sort of work on the trend. Then you can work on that body rotation, which is a much harder thing to get a guy to start to do, I think. But, you know, if you rein him in so that the distance he has to travel is a little less than he does now, but he still is blocking the net and feeling comfortable that he's challenging people, you know, then I think it's, you know, I like what I see. You know, you never know. It's hard to figure out how teams will address these kinds of weaknesses, you know, whether they recognize them as what they need to do or whether they say, okay, we got to change everything this guy does. You know, he's getting beat in transition. He's getting beat on straight. We got to change everything he does. It's like, well, okay. You know what? In that case, it's going to be a multi-year project, and who knows. You know, but in his case, I think the simple fix to begin with is just to rein him in a little bit, teach him, you know, have him stand there in a butterfly with his eyes closed, you know, 3 feet outside the crease and see how many guys can beat him from a spot, you know, 10 feet in front of him, you know. And so he understands he doesn't have to be that far out. You know, I think it's also one of those things where I don't know what sort of coaching he gets. So, you know, there is a school of thought, you know, challenge the shooter, and that's great. And that gets rewarded, you know, along the way that gets rewarded. But, you know, I think NCAA is the last level where that gets rewarded. I think after this is when things start to get a little bit crazy.
It's going to be, you know, and kind of a good school of shooters in that Laval team. So even practice is going to be pretty important for him. We're going to take a quick break and coming back pretty soon.
The God of Mischief is back and better than ever.
Loki.
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 Wow. Great to see you again.
Critics agree Loki season 2 is
marvelous.
Great. And it's finally here.
How much do you know?
Let's assume I don't know much.
A mind-bending adventure. Spectacularly cinematic.
I've been waiting for a moment like this.
It surpasses all expectations.
A little over the top, don't you think?
I thought it was spot on.
Loki season 2, now streaming only on Disney Plus.
And there we have it. We're back, and obviously, as Ken said, it's Mr. Fowler, and we're not talking about Robbie Fowler, scorer for Liverpool when I grew up, but we're talking about another Jacob Fowler. Probably going to World Juniors this year, are going to line up with Boston College in the NCAA, and we just heard what Ken thinks about the development path there. But the national team in U.S. national team is going to be pretty good with Fowler in that for the World Juniors.
Yeah, and I think also, you know, BC has had a record of, you know, not ruining guys, so so that's good. You know, Thatcher, Demko, and, you know, they've had some guys come out who can play. So You know, and again, I think for Fowler, it's interesting because as I've been talking to some of the folks, one of the knocks on him was, I guess, you know, he's a kid, he's 18, you know, he's got a little baby fat on him. You know, people were worried about his conditioning, although it doesn't seem to show up in games. But the flip side of what we were talking about with Dobish with the NCAA is that, and I remember talking, I think it was Alex Lyon I spoke to a bazillion years ago about the difference between sort of his 4 years at Yale and the you know, the guys coming out of juniors was that, or out of the OHL, was that he, or the CHL, was that he, you know, he could work, they work out, you know, they have access to gym, they have time, they have, you know, they have their studies, they have coaches who make sure they have, you know, everything that they are doing is programmed so that they have gym time and they do get in shape. You know, if anyone's worried about his conditioning, that should not be a problem, you know, coming out of that NCAA program, because like I said, they spend, you know, a lot of time practicing and a lot of time in the gym, and you know, they can really get a lot of those conditioning issues, you know, really ramp up their conditioning is what they can do. You know, I think that, you know, obviously the game competition is a little bit, you know, sort of up and down, you know, also, you know, if you're coming out of Boston though, which is nice, you know, you play in the Beanpot, which is major, you know, public sort of scrutiny. you know, and like I said, you know, Team USA, you know, if you're going to play international, you know, you're going to see some new stuff than you're going to see playing 3 years in the USHL on the Youngstown Phantoms. And, you know, we were just talking about it beforehand that he got a taste of that last night, or I guess it's 2 nights ago. Is it 2 nights ago? Yeah.
It's going to be last night. I don't know when it is. Ago when we,
well, you know, whatever day this is coming out on. You know, where they were down 3-0. They were splitting the game. They were down 3-0. He came in as the second goalie, already seeing his team getting slammed. And they continued to get slammed. And he gave up another four, one of which was a straight-on shot, another of which, you know, sort of bounced off his back and went in, you know. But, you know, they were that was an onslaught from the Swedes. And, you know, I think, like I said, not having watched him, you know, forever, you know, that's a great, to me, that this is the kind of stuff that these guys need. You know, you go to the USA, you know, the USHL, and you're on a good team and you're playing well and you've got a lot of, you know, and you get used to a certain level of competition. And then all of a sudden you're on a team with a USA on your front and you're getting your butts kicked. And, you know, you have to kind of learn how to play those games and see what it's like. And I think that, you know, he got exposed a little bit, but I don't think that he got exposed for what he does. I think he got exposed for what he did in that game, which was, you know, he's a guy who is he's like the opposite of Dobish. You know, he's, you know, and we like him a lot at Ingol. He's a very sort of, I don't like to say technical. He's a conservatively positioned goalie. You know, he spends a lot of time toes on the crease, heels on the crease. You know, when it's a breakaway, he comes out and does the breakaway thing like you're supposed to. But, you know, a lot of the time he is inside the net. You know, he's controlling where he is all the time. You know, he's a little deep for a lot of guys' taste, but he makes the saves. He's always on angle. He's always in position. He is very fast, which, you know, he's one of these guys I sort of really like, because one of the things I always like to say about these guys is he's really fast, but he never looks like he's moving. So, you know, because he just doesn't move very far. He doesn't have to move very far the way he positions himself. You know, he's a little bit, you know, I think on power plays, he's a little bit vulnerable, but hey, you know what? So is everybody, and figure it out. You know, he's, if you watch his highlight reels, you know, you can go 9-10 minutes and you'll watch him and you'll never see him on his butt. You know, he's always in control. He's always sort of moving forward. He's always got he's always sort of, as we say, on top of the puck, which I hate, but, you know, people get what it means. You know, he's not scrambling around on his behind you know, sort of slaying his legs out to hope that somebody doesn't score. You know, he knows where the puck is. He follows his rebounds. He knows where the puck is after it hits him, and he goes there, you know. And I think if you watch him in the game against Sweden, he comes in, he knows the team's getting slaughtered, and he has a little bit of extra energy. It's a little bit of extra thing, you know, so he gets, instead of being, you know, instead of sort of pushing over and being under control, he challenges the shooter, and he's a little bit further out than he's used to. And, you know, that is something that he is going to have to do. You know, I think that's one of the things that you know, he will have to learn is how to expand his depth a little bit and how to challenge a little more effectively. But I think he's one of these guys where the best thing to do is just kind of let him figure it out a little bit. And, you know, if you see him get beat high glove, or he gets beat, like we were talking about, over the shoulder, okay. You know, so what do? You need an extra skate blade of depth. How do you get an extra skate blade of depth? You just do it. You know, you do what you're doing. You don't become more aggressive. You don't try and do anything faster. You just do what you do and just go a little further, you know, and trust that. And I think that's what he's going to have to learn. You know, I'm sure part of it will come at BC, you know, as the competition ramps up a little bit. He will definitely get a taste of it with the national team stuff. You know, when you play the better teams and you play faster guys and you play more talented guys, you know, the worst thing you can do is think you have to change what you do to make yourself better. You know, a guy like him has had a lot of success. He's got all the tools that you need. He just needs to know how to do it a little bit more, or a little bit faster, or a little bit. But he doesn't have to change what he does to do that. All you have to do is just kind of get it in your mindset that I can do this. You know, I can go an extra skate blade out, and I can get back an extra skate blade out, and I can do it just as fast as I need to do it, because I'm fast enough to do this. And I think that's one of the things about him that, from what I gather, is that people really, you know, it seemed like we were talking about before, the only knock on him was a few people saying, you know, he's got some baby fat, whatever, but he's, you know, I could see, and I hope it doesn't happen, I could see people looking at him thinking, okay, he's too conservative, you know, he's too quote unquote technical, which I hate, but you know, he needs to be more aggressive. And the worst thing you can do is tell a guy who plays like him, you need to be more aggressive, because then guess what? They get more aggressive, and everything they do doesn't hold. You know, if your mindset is be more aggressive, then everything you do becomes more exaggerated and more. And I think that's kind of what happened to him against Sweden, is that, you know, you could just, you know, if you watch his Youngstown highlights, he's very, you know, his films, you know, he's very always under control, never out of position, you know, and always making a second save and a third save. And you know, and then against in the Sweden game, you know, he's making a save or there was a deflection, and then he would sort of be a little bit off because he's pushing a little too hard, you know, and pushing a little too hard, getting himself a little too far. And the worst thing to do is to think, okay, I have to be more aggressive, because that's exactly what happens, is, you know, you push too far, but you're not in control. You know, there's a big difference. There's a big difference between pushing farther out and taking an extra skate blade of depth. Mm-hmm. So if you try and push one skate blade further, you know, or if your mind, you're thinking, I got to get further out, then you don't necessarily do it under control the way you can. Whereas if it's like, okay, I just need to do this a little, I need to get further out with my normal pushes, you know, and if you do that, then all of a sudden, you know, you're going, instead of challenging a shooter with your toes on the crease, you're challenging the shooter with your heels on the crease, you know, in a power play, you're maintaining your depth, you know, at the top of the crease instead of two thirds of the way up the crease. And then, you know, when you're pushing back to the post, you're pushing just a little bit further than the post, so you're safe and covering. And all of a sudden, everything just makes sense, you know, and that takes time. It takes time and trust in what you do and how you do it. And it takes the faith of your goalie coaches and system to keep doing it, you know, to let you fail, you know.
Yeah, I mean, it's how we all learn to ride a bike as well. We had to fail a few times.
Yeah, you know, and I think that's one of the things with goalies is that people are afraid of these guys. You know, we were talking a little bit about Joe Verbeek, who I haven't really watched much, or Verbeek, I can't pronounce his name. But, you know, he's getting lit up. You know, hey, good. You know what? Most of these kids, they don't get lit up when they're 14 or 15 or 16. They play on good teams, you know, because they're good. And, you know, they're not facing 45 shots a game or 50 shots a game in a game that they have no chance to win unless they don't give up a goal, you know. I think every goalie should experience that because it tests you, you know, it hones you. And that's why, you know, I was actually glad to watch that game, you know, with Fowler, because, you know, there's one shot that he gives up that's over his glove, and hey, you know what's going to happen. And you know, don't go changing everything just because that happens once. But, you know, the other goals were all scrambly goals. And if you watch him, Youngstown and the USHL stuff, never scrambling. So, you know, the takeaway is, okay, you know, he was scrambling. So you learn how to not scramble, basically, you know.
Looking at it, though, we have a development path here again, NCAA, but he's coming in to one of the biggest fan bases and organizations. Yeah. He knows the media is there. He's playing international now. He knows there are more TV cameras. He knows there. That affects him as well.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's these kids... You know, it's a different world. You know, once you get drafted, it's a different world. The expectations change. You know, we never really talk about non-goalie stuff. Like Cole Caulfield was one of these guys who I'm thrilled the way he's played, you know, pro, because, you know, look, in college, if you're a first round draft pick and you're playing college hockey, you should be the best guy on the ice, you know, other than the other first round pick on the other side, you know. So success in college at that level, you know, you should have it. You know, you really should. You know, these goalies who are high picks, they should be good. You know, that doesn't mean that what they're, you know, that doesn't mean that you should discount what they're doing, but it also, I'm not sure, translates necessarily. So you're going to see in Buffalo with Devin Levy, and we'll see what happens there. You know, he looked pretty good, but, you know, again, you know, the worst thing that can happen is that you come out and play really well and everybody suddenly thinks you're, you know, a savior, and
you're the next,
you know,
Carey
and
Price
then
in Montreal, you don't want to do that.
Right. You know, look, I mean, you know, the next Carey Price, everybody's going to have to deal with what's the next Carey Price, you know. Meanwhile, Samuel Montembeau has been doing fine, you know, coming out of nowhere. I didn't see that happening. I don't think anybody saw that happening.
It's as we always say, goalies are voodoo. And
they're not voodoo. You know, they're not voodoo. There are certain fundamentals that guys have to have, and I think, you know, we're talking about two guys who have them, and it's interesting that they're both sort of they both have terrific fundamentals. With, well, I shouldn't say terrific fundamentals. I don't love the way Dobis sort of doesn't rotate when he pushes. That, you know, Martin Jones did that for years. He couldn't, you know, he had limited rotational sort of motion, and that really ultimately can expose you to side kind of plays. You just need a little more of that, and you can teach that, but like I said, I think a lot of his issues, you know, we two guys really with two different issues. It's interesting because, you know, Fowler is very much a conservative kind of positioning guy who's going to have to learn to be just a little more aggressive. It's ingrained. I did it. You know, he has to learn to be a little more, I need a better word than aggressive. What's the word we can use? You know, he just needs to be a little more a little more confident. You know, it's really a confident thing, and I'm sure he's a confident kid, you know, but you have to be confident in your ability to stretch yourself. You have to be confident in your ability to fail and get better from it, which is why I loved seeing him get just, you know, annihilated by Sweden. You know, hey, you know what, I love that happened. It wasn't a gold medal game, you know, it was just a thing, you know. And so, okay, you know, now we see, you know, we used to joke because at EUTP I used to just go one play, you know, one play was my thing. I would do one play and we would talk about what it meant. And so, you know, with him, I would take any one of those goals he gives up, and other than sort of the straight shot from the midline that I can't remember who took it, but you know, and just say, okay, what do you learn from this? You know, one, he's getting plowed over by his, you know, the last goal, he's getting plowed over by his own guy. So you can, or by his own guy pushing a Swedish, you know, forward into him. So you can get rid of that one. But, you know, there's a couple of goals that are these scrambling little side to side plays. And, you know, I would take one of those and sit with him and say, okay, did you need to do this? Did you need to do that? What happened? You know, what happened? How are you out of position here? You know, and are you normally out of position in those plays? To which he would probably say no. And you say, okay, well, why? Okay, well, you know what? I wanted to get further. Okay, well, if you wanted to get further out, how do you do that without losing control? And figure that out, and you're golden, you know? And everything is a learning experience. And I would do the same thing with Dobish, and the completely opposite thing. I'd say, okay, what would be the worst thing that happened if you were 5 feet closer to the net? You know, you know, or what would be the worst thing? You know, I've given one goalie lesson in my life on the ice to a beginner goalie. And the first thing I did was I had her, she had been playing for about a year. And, you know, most of the time I sort of sit and watch video and talk to people about stuff like that, because I never played and I can't skate, but I can't skate now, but I spent a lot of time, you know, sort of, you know, in the youth realm watching goalies and learning about them. And then eventually, you know, got within goal and EOTP and everything. And so, you know, but my thing has always been watching. It's always been watching. I've never really taught. So one day I got on the ice with this beginner from one of my daughter's, you know, goalie team, one of my daughter's youth teams. And she was sort of the backup goalie, and she had to play a game. And the first thing I did, she was always moving. And the first thing I did was I had her sit in a butterfly. And we were talking about this beforehand as a joke, but literally this is what I had her do. I had her sit in a butterfly in the crease in front of the goal, and I gave every girl on the team a puck, and they had to come up and just shoot from like 2 feet in front of her, right? And she had to keep her eyes closed the whole time. Mm-hmm. So they all came up and shot, and then I had her open her eyes, and I said, look in the net. And she looked in the net, and there were no pucks in the net. And I said, so see, you didn't move at all. They were always shooting from the same spot. You knew that they couldn't, you knew that you were in the right spot, and they all shot and nothing went through you. So what does that tell you? And she said, that if I'm in position, I don't have to move. I said, yes. If you have the net covered, you don't have to move. And she went out and like stopped like, you know, 50 shots or something the next game. It wasn't all me, but yeah, you know, but that's the thing. I think they're, you know, like
probably with Dobish,
I would almost have him do that. I would be like, okay, you know, just let's see what happens. Let's see what happens if you're three. If see what happens if you just rein in your depth a little bit. See how many guys can actually beat you from there, you know. Because then everything else you have to do becomes easier, as opposed to making it hard. So you may feel like it's easier for you to be, you know, 5 to 8 feet outside of the crease on a against the primary shooter, but you may not need to be there, and you just need the confidence to know you don't have to be there. And then you can do all the other stuff so much easier, you know? And I think that's the thing, you know, you see guys in the NHL come out that far, you know, but only in certain situations. You know, it can't be your default position, you know? Cause then the other thing that happens is if you're not far enough out, you know, if you're not far enough out, are you there still? Yeah. If you're not far enough out, you start to feel like you're not far enough out. And then you start pushing even further and further and further. Whereas, you know, it's all about confidence. You know, to me, and these guys, no one would ever think that these guys don't have confidence, you know, and that's what's so funny about it is that, you know, you're talking about two different things, but to change what you do, you know, to adapt to the next level, you have to have confidence that what you're doing will work. And in Dobish's case, I think it's, you have to have confidence that you can rein in it a little and still be awesome, you know, and still be fast as hell and still be spectacular when you need to be. you know, and feel like you're, you know, feel like you're engaged. You know, that's like a lot of it with some of these guys too. They want to feel like they're challenging and feel like they're engaged. So, you know, that you can do that without, you know, without putting yourself at risk like that. And then with Fowler, it's the other thing. It's, you know, I can do what I do. I can be a con. I can sort of be a, you know, I can be a conservative positioned, you know, very sort of smooth and efficient, you know, but I can also be a little bit further out. I can be a little bit more, you know, a little bit more challenging, a little bit more, you know, a little bit more. I had a word. Confident is part of the word. I can be a more of a presence. You know, I can be more of an authority. I can be more of an authority. I can say, this is my crease. This is my place. You know, I don't need to be, I don't need to be that far out to do it, but I need to be a little further out than I am. And he may not be, you know, he may not have to, you know, you'll see, you know, some of these guys, you know, look, you know, you're, you know, Henrik Lundqvist played the entire, you know, he challenged when he had to, you know, you would see him, you know, I mean, I can remember him playing against, I think it was the Canadians actually, when he was, you know, chasing somebody around the back of the net, you know, he'll do that from time to time. But I'm just going to move, plug in my phone here while I'm rambling. But so they, you know, but you know, he was always in position, but he also had, it's, you know, that was how he was aggressive. You know, that was how he was confident. That was how he was dominant, was he was, you know, he knew he was in position and he knew he had the reflexes and the shot reading ability to play as deep as he did, but still be able to cover the net. And really, it all comes down to covering the net. You know, you can lie on your, the ideal goalie would be, you know, 6x4, right? So, you know, if you can cover the net in the minimum amount of, if you can cover the net in all situations and with the minimum amount of energy expended and the minimum amount of risk taken, then, you know, you're perfect. And no one's perfect, but, you know, you always want to sort of strive to it, you know, and I think that's what I think I would love to see with these guys. I think these guys are two really different kinds of prospects who are pretty exciting. You know, they're pretty exciting. I mean, again, you know, I haven't watched them since they were little kids. I can't tell you what they were, you know, were growing up, but you know, from what I've seen, yeah, you know, both of them look like they have, you know, pro level. So, you know, talking about Fowler, you know, Fowler, if you go by what the track record is of guys who kind of have his, you know, positioning ability, it's pretty high, you know, it's pretty high. Like I said,
would you compare him to someone active?
I'm not gonna do that. No, I don't like to. I don't know.
I know. I know. That's why I put you on the spot.
I don't want to do that in Montreal. No way. But yeah, no, I like him. I think he's, you know, I think he's, I'm trying to think if I can come up with anybody. You know, a guy like that who I saw, you know, but doesn't quite play like that anymore is Carter Hart when he first came up. You know, a little conservative in the positioning, but had the ability to do a lot of stuff. His post-integration was terrific. You know, he's changed a little bit of what he does. I don't want to get into that. You know,
that's another hour.
But you know, but I think that's the kind of, you know, I think that's the kind of player that Fowler is. You know, I think he's a position first guy, but he has very good technical skills. He's a good skater. He seems to be. He's fast side to side. He's fast in positioning. I do. I think the only thing that really will have to happen with him is that he has to trust that along the way, because it's going to, you know, it gets bumpy. You know, we were talking about angles that guys can shoot. You know, all of a sudden, you know, you're in the pros and, you know, a guy releases the puck before you even saw it, or they shoot from behind a screen that you didn't even think was there, you know, and you have to trust your positioning to make that play, and things happen faster, and you just have to trust in you. When you're a guy like Fowler, you have to trust that what you do at this level can work at the next level, and you just have to figure out what the mindset is that you need to have to make it work. You know, whether it's, you know, we talked about taking an extra skate blade, but that's not always it necessary. You know, maybe a little more forward lean on your post stuff. You know, you never know what exactly, you know, maybe a little change, a little more aggressive stick play, you know, things like that. But I think when you have the positional skills and the positional awareness that he seems to have, that's a much easier transition than someone who has gotten by making spectacular saves in the crease their whole life, you know, scrambling around and just being faster than everybody. That breaks down. It just doesn't, you can't, that's unsustainable. Whereas a guy like Fowler, I think, has the ability, you know, with just some subtle changes in mindset and really not even technique, just mindset and confidence to take a few risks here and there and, you know, be a little, and just, you know, be ready to challenge. And I think, you know, he got a good taste of what his future will be the other night, and, you know, hopefully he'll learn from it. And, you know, all it takes sometimes is just one goal, you know, one play where you just see, oh, okay, I get it. I needed to be there, but I was in the right place, but I was totally out of control. I need to get there in control so I can get back to the other place if I have to. And I know how I can do that. I can just push a little further. You know,
thank you so much, Ken. It's been brilliant.
You know, I'll go on forever about these guys, you know.
Yeah, I know. But
your mileage may vary, Montreal.
That's how we are. We really appreciate you taking the time out of a busy Sunday with the dogs and on the beach.
Oh, very busy surfing with time. The dogs. So, falling off my surfboard. Thank you very much.
You can follow Ken at Twitter or X or whatever it's called next week. I'll be sure to link it in the pod.
Just beware of what you might find there.
Thank you so much, Ken. Appreciate you.
Hey, my pleasure.